Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting. The website is santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the second day of the KSFR Fun Drive, semi-annual fun drive, and this is the time where we ask you to give us a call at 428-1393, 428-1393, if you listen to the Radio Cafe and if you think the Radio Cafe is worth listening to. If you don't think it's worth listening to, we don't ask you to call, but if you do, we do ask you to call us and make a contribution. Doesn't matter how much at all, however small or large you want, by calling 428-1393 if you are in the Santa Fe area, or by calling 1-866-907-5737. What we're looking for today, and what we're looking for during this fun drive, is that every listener who really digs KSFR, who really thinks this is a great radio station, actually step up and make a contribution to the station. You don't have to. It's really about volunteering to. It's really about saying, I listen to this, and therefore, I think it's worth supporting. The truth is, if you don't support it, it goes away. It's one of those things where if you don't actually support it, it's sort of like maintaining your house. If you don't stucco the windows every once in a while, if you don't keep it warm, if you don't fix the roof, eventually the water comes in, it leaks, it disappears, it disintegrates, it goes away. Any example of maintenance that you can think of, that's what it's like to maintain a radio station. We just need your contributions to keep it going. 428-1393 is the number. That's how you contribute. Now, I had somebody come up to me last week and say, you know, I really like your show, especially during the fun drive. And I thought, what? You like the show during the fun drive? Yeah, you play the best things during the fun drive. Well, the truth is that we actually do try, I try on this show, to have my best program. I try to do good programming all the time, but you try to have your best programming during the fun drive, because what we do is we give away, for example, books or DVDs or CDs and things like that for people who make a contribution, just so you have that little reward. So it's not only about giving, but you get a little something back besides 365 days of programming, 24 hours a day. 428-1393 is the number. Today we're going to have Mary Sojourner on the air, and I have sitting here in the cafe with me Reese Peterson. She's the executive director of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, and her group is actually bringing Mary Sojourner to Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte, and good morning, listeners.
So who's Mary Sojourner? You're the one who introduced me and our audiences in Santa Fe in just a few minutes to her. Who is this amazing lady?
Mary Sojourner is a woman who, actually, she is an author, an essayist. She's an NPR commentator. A woman.
Activist,
wild woman, lives in the desert. She is an extraordinary writer. She has written a book. Her most recent publication is Bone Light, Ruin and Grace in the New Southwest. And it's about love of the land and connecting with the land. And it's a very personal series of essays, but they speak to anyone who cares about the land. And I think that's something that here in New Mexico we're especially in touch with, the importance of land.
And so I did an interview with her just a couple of days ago. We're going to air it in just a second. But if you would like a copy of the book Bone Light, we have 5 and only 5 copies for the first 5 contributors who make a contribution of $85 to KSFR by calling 428-1393. That's 428-1393. And we also, interview that I did was actually considerably longer than we're going to hear, so we're also giving away the unabridged full version of the CD of the interview for a contribution of $35, and of course there's many other gifts that you can get from KSFR if you make a contribution, but only today can you get a copy of Bone Light. Now, Mary Sojourner, the other thing, she's going to be giving a workshop on Saturday the 5th, which is called Querencia, Writing the Threads of Place. And we are giving away one, thanks to you, Reese, to your great generosity, we're giving away one place in this workshop. And maybe if you listen to the interview for a few minutes, you can decide if you're a writer or aspiring writer, whether this is something you might like to do. Let's do a little check-in in the control room. How are we doing so far this morning?
Hi there.
Hi.
Good morning.
Dal Dierman, General Manager of KSFR.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Excellent.
How are we doing today so far?
So far, so good today. We really had a very nice start with Democracy Now! This morning in our 90-minute unabridged version of the show. And I'm hoping that we'll do just every bit as well the rest of the morning, too. It's Monday, of course, is a great lineup anyway. And certainly, in no small measure, thanks to the Radio Cafe. We did get a call just as soon as you mentioned the Mary Sojourner book, but just one so far. So we do want to encourage everybody to make a phone call to KSFR and pick up this book as a premium. Also, Mary Charlotte, while I'm on here, I want to mention the toll-free number because we have had calls in the last 24 hours from all over the place, from Rancho to Taos and from Taos and from Albuquerque. And if you're one of the folks listening to KSFR on 101.1 somewhere outside of town, you can call us free at 866-907-KSFR.
So let's go now to Mary Sojourner, but not before you call 428-1393. It's for the radio station, which means, ladies and gentlemen, it's for you.
428-1393.
Okay, let's go.
I'd like to welcome Mary Sojourner. She's an author, teacher, activist, and former NPR commentator. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
Now, you are a writer, and I thought that maybe we could start with a reading from one of your books called Bone Light. Would you like to do that?
I'd love to do that. I'll preface it by saying that I moved to Flagstaff, Arizona in 1985. I had read Edward Abbey, and it was time for me to leave the Northeast and to come here. And I came with the intention to write and to fight for the earth. And Opening was written, oh my gosh, probably 10 or 15 years later, when I had waked to the fact that the Southwest was under attack primarily from development. So I will read. Opening. To write about the New Southwest is to write about hunger and greed, emptiness and searing beauty. To write about the New Southwest is to be humbled again and again. I write about hunger because I am perpetually hungry. I write about greed because I always want more. I write about emptiness because I too often feel empty. And that makes me kin to frantic developers, builders, hustlers, card sharks, slot hogs, and billionaires, one of whom has said, I am insatiable for land. I can't ever own enough. I write about beauty because in doubting mine, I have lost it. And I cannot bear to see the beauty of this Western earth lost to bad faith. I am humbled because I have limped into the throat of the Turtle Mountains, paddled on the San Juan River in the noon twilight of a solar eclipse, been swallowed and spit out by Rapid 24.5 on the Colorado River, and stood helpless above an unnamed wetland valley watching bulldozers rip it apart.
And we're talking to Mary Sojourner. I'm really struck in this and in all of your work by the combination of real humility and also righteous anger that fuels the activism in your work.
It's a striking observation. At this moment, I'm in the strange kind of crazy quilt of leaving Flagstaff. In fact, in 4 days, I'll be moving to a little Mojave desert town, which shall not be named to protect the innocent.
Right.
I would have told you when I wrote Opening that I understood humility, but I think in the last probably 4 to 5 years, as I've become more and more solidly aware of the changes going on in Flagstaff, in the American culture, in the publishing industry, and in my own body as I age, humility, humbleness has taken on a new dimension. Righteous anger is stronger than it ever was.
Tell us more about your experience in Flagstaff. When did you move there?
I arrived in Flagstaff on January 4th, 1985, and there were about between 34,000 and 35,000 people in the town. Much of the forested areas, it's mostly ponderosa pine, around the town have now been developed into Walmarts and shopping malls and very expensive housing. We have two or three gated Gulf developments, and we are, of course, dealing with the same thing that's happening all over the country, and that property isn't selling. And I've been gratified to see that investment properties that people made and never lived in are one. The gated development south of me, during the winter, 85% of the units stand empty, and most of the time there's nobody living in any of these huge mansions. So the change, we now have over 70,000 people, and we have tons of people who come here and use this as a playground but don't have any real commitment to what they're playing in. You know, after I read Ed Abbey, I initially came out here to work on issues like mining and logging, and learned very rapidly. A good friend of mine, a guy named Dan Daggett, said to me 20 years ago, the day's going to come when what you're going to be furious about is development and off-road vehicle use. And that has evolved. You know, that has happened. Initially for me, writing, and this is many, many years ago, was a way to pour out conflicts and sorrow and anger and confusion onto a piece of paper and release it really from my heart and my mind. I was the divorced mother of three kids and raised them completely by myself with no support, and worked full time and was going to school. This is, oh my gosh, this is 33 years ago. And the only way I made it through a lot of the days and was able to sleep at night is to use a journal, to use a pen, and to get my hand moving. The emotional release doesn't work quite as well for me on a computer, but it does work in a journal. I'd always known I wanted to be a writer. When I was a little girl, reading saved my life. I grew up in a home with a bipolar mom who was always trying to kill herself and not succeeding, and a kind of old-fashioned patriarchal dad who was hanging on the best he could. And reading allowed me to have sanity. Reading allowed me to keep going forward. So when I had waked up to the fact that the West was under assault, it was clear to me that I needed to take that more personal writing and move it out into defense of this astonishing place. And I'm not talking about pretty landscape. I'm talking about the way the horned toad and the desert and a fly and intermittent rain, you know, and the saguaro and the lunar moth, how all of that weaves together. That we are a tiny part of that. We are not the top of the food chain. And how we all live together in that web, it became very clear to me that if I never did anything, I moved out here when I was 45, if I never did anything for the rest of my life but to write in gratitude to the place I had come to live in, that would be enough.
One thing that I always wonder about is that writers like you, who write so beautifully and with so much heart, the people who read that work tend to be other people with a whole lot of heart and not the people whose hearts need to be opened in a way.
I learned a long time ago, I am, among other things, a recovering lover of alcoholics and drug addicts, and through a 12-step program, I learned a long time ago that I can't change anybody else.
Yeah.
And I have had been in many, many, many meetings with the people who are very clearly the other side. And despite calls for compromise and cooperation, what I learned in those meetings is that their notion of compromise was that they would get what they want and we would go away. And there are you know, there are processes and phenomena that work beautifully. I mean, there are land conservancies and land trusts that are able to acquire land by buying it from people or setting up conservation easements, and the developer, the landowner, gets their money and they go away. But in trying to effect compromise with, for instance, a developer here who wanted to put a gated golf mansion thingy around a landlocked wetland, one of the few wetlands in Arizona that's in a volcano crater. And what we found that it was impossible. What he wanted was everything. And I will never forget his environmental consultant saying, hey, you have to face it, Mary. Here's what we do. We nuke and we mitigate. I will never forget that meeting. And I was sitting in the meeting and I thought, holy cow, we are different subspecies of the same species. We don't speak the same language. We don't operate from the same notion of the planet. At one point, the developer said, well, this little blue marble spinning in space. And I said to him, excuse me, not a blue marble. That's a cliche. What the planet is a web of interdependent life, water, rock, and light. And he just looked at me blankly. There's an essay in my essay collection, Bone Light, that talks about that lunch that we had. So I have quite given up. I don't believe that it's possible to crack those people's hearts. And where I am at this point, and I'm sure you know and your listeners know, that we are in dire, dire straits on this planet. Time is short. And so what I like to do now, and I do it in my teaching conscientiously and intensely, is I'm very interested in working with people whose hearts already are a bit broken, or people whose hearts are darn near blown, just smashed, because I think we need to take care of each other at this point. Those of us who, for whatever reason, are stewards for community and for the land and for diversity, and those words have been so overused, but we're overusing them because they are the truth. We are desperate for diversity. We're desperate for love for the planet, and we're desperate for community.
We're talking to Mary Sojourner.
And you're listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. We are in our fun drive, ladies and gentlemen. If you want a copy of the book Bone Light, a book of essays by Mary Sojourner, whom we are just listening to, you can call 428-1393.
There are only a couple left, Mary Charlotte.
Ah, good. We've gotten three out, two to go. Ladies and gentlemen, for a contribution of $85, you can get a copy of the book Bone Light. If you're calling from out of area, 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. And for a contribution of $150, we have one and only one seat in the workshop that
no,
she is teaching.
No, we don't.
Oh, it's gone.
It's gone, too.
Yay!
Well, that's great. We hope to fill that workshop.
Thank you, Reese Peterson, for telling us about this. And Reese Peterson of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust is sponsoring this workshop. You wanted to make a call out to conservationists.
I sure did, Mary Stewart, Mary Charlotte. We are hoping that anyone who is connecting with the land through their love of the land, their love of trails, we have so many wonderful trails to enjoy here in our community, people who love New Mexico's landscapes, many of us were drawn here by our connection with the land. Many people who grew up here and stayed after they grew up, or stay here, I believe, because of their love of the land. And we call out to anyone who has that conservation ethic, that need to steward the land, as Mary was just discussing. I challenge them to call in today and support your program.
We have a lot of environmental programs on this show, and Diego Mulligan does too on his program, The Journey Home, in the afternoon. We care deeply at KSFR, and I personally, and I would say probably the vast majority of our listeners, about the environment in which we live, about the rain and the water in the Santa Fe area, about the erosion of our rivers, about the disappearance of our rivers, about the use of land for agriculture, about the pesticides and the chemicals in our environment. We talk about all of these things on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. And if you listen to these programs and you care about them, I am giving you, ladies and gentlemen, you listeners, a golden opportunity to actually say thank you and support this. We do not care how much you give. We just care that you give, that you support the program right now. 428-1393 is the number, and that's the way you do it. 428-1393, and from out of area, 1-866-907-5737, 866-907-KSFR. Dal, do we have any thank yous?
We don't. We have everybody who's called so far has wanted to be anonymous, Mary Charlotte.
You're kidding me.
I wouldn't do that.
Well, we thank you, anonymous people, and we understand wanting to be anonymous. I have often done the same thing. I remember when I first made a contribution to a public radio station where I used to live, and that little thrill and that little fear, it's like, oh no, they're going to say my name.
Well, I do have a thank you. I have a thank you. Just in seconds ago, good friend of KSFR, Susan Burke. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
Great to hear from you.
Wonderful, wonderful. All of you who have not called yet, please call now, 428-1393. Our goal is that everybody who likes this show give a call right at this moment.
This program and KSFR in general have so much value to our community. It connects our community together. BBC News that you offer gives the international perspective. Then we go down to local news and really learn about what's going on in our community in a timely way. Your news team is astonishing.
They're fabulous.
They're absolute. We have world-class local news here in our tiny community of, 70,000 people in Santa Fe? Plus the larger community now that your new broadcasting reaches farther afield.
That's right.
We're getting
Albuquerque
more people
to Taos.
That's right. And so our community is enlarged. Our circle of connection is enlarging. And I really encourage anyone listening and who values these services to call in and support KSFR at 428-1393 or from out of area 866-907-5737.
And we're going to go back to our interview in just a moment, but I was thinking if this program is worth your listening to, is worth your actually doing a preset on your car radio dial, something that you might want to consider doing is setting telling the person who you call in at the fund drive at the pledge line 428-1393 that you would like to give a monthly contribution. If you're willing to give, let's say, $10 or $15 or $20 per month, then that gets automatically deducted from your credit card or bank account or debit card, whatever you want to do. And that way, you don't have to think about it anymore. It's a wonderful way to do it. I do this myself.
Me too.
With a couple of organizations.
That's the way I do it. It is great to get that steady support. As the head of a nonprofit myself, we are dependent on donations as well. And having those steady people send in modest checks even, but steadily means so much to us.
And it's automatic, so you don't have to think about it anymore. It happens automatically. 428-1393. Ask our wonderful pledge volunteers about that. We're going to go back now to the Mary Sojourner interview. Just a couple of books left for a contribution of $85. 428-1393. Okay.
Historically, people have responded to catastrophe, and what we're trying to do now is something that's very different, namely to avert catastrophe, because once catastrophe comes, a lot of things will be irrecoverable, unrecoverable.
I think that what is critical to face is it isn't that the catastrophe is coming. It's here. If you doubt that, you could be one of those bats that's covered with some eerie fungus that they think is associated with global warming. You could be the last salmon trying to swim up the Sacramento River because all the other salmon are gone. You could try being a person who came across the border between Mexico and the United States without the proper papers and is working 16 hours a day for very little money, terrified all the time that they're going to be arrested and taken back. And of course, very often they're working those hours in the gardens and the empty mansions of the people who have a whole lot of money. The catastrophe is here.
And still, so many of us have our central heating and warm water still working, and there's still food in the supermarkets. And so there's this sense that everything's the same as it was in 1970.
Well, that's an interesting statement. So who is us? Who are we?
Well, I'm speaking personally.
Precisely. And in global terms, we are a tiny segment of the population.
That's right.
There's a tendency on the part of corporate media and the more general media to always be talking about we and us. I mean, one of my news sources is the New York Times Online, and they're always talking about we and us. And that we and us is a sliver of the human species. I grew up in a farm town, on a farm. My father was a teacher. Because of my mother's bipolar condition, which nobody understood at the time, we were poor. We were poorer than everybody else around us. And the town was taken over by developers to put in essentially bedroom communities for Kodak and Xerox. And as that happened, the socioeconomic condition of my friends, of the homes, of everything, altered, and it became essentially upper middle class white. I watched hills leveled, creeks wiped out, meadows destroyed, woodlands chopped down, and then I watched the socioeconomic diversity of this little town. And I wouldn't have said those words back then, but I watched it come apart. All of this is a piece of why I love teaching and working with people who come into writing circles saying, theoretically, I have a life of privilege, but I can feel that I'm starving to death. I'm here in this circle to start to understand how to better feed myself.
Yeah.
And I guess in my perspective, the more that pen moves and the more people can write into that emptiness or that hunger, the more there's the possibility of suddenly seeing through our great good luck to live in America and to have what we have. But once you can get into that ache, and I think it's an ache for connection with all the rest of the planet, then at least in the short term, we're going to start taking better care of ourselves and better care of each other and better care of the ground we move over.
I was thinking about what you were saying one day when I was watching the prairie dogs that live in the park outside of my house. And I was thinking about how when I go home, that's my home and I feel safe there. And how the prairie dogs, it's exactly the same for them. That's their home. And we treat them like it's not their home. We treat them like everything is our potential home, and they just have to move. And suddenly, the prairie dogs and all refugees and me potentially and everybody potentially were all of a piece. And I was thinking that's sort of when you start to realize that we actually includes not only all people, but all these animals as well, everything shifts and it becomes boundaries get blurred and definitions start to change.
Thank goodness, because that's reality. And that's what was understood by people, and I'm not romanticizing or glorifying, you know, living dependent on in connection with the earth. I just finished a really wonderful novel by a woman named Connie Willis called Doomsday Book. And in it, a young woman is sent back into the past, and they think they're sending her to 1320, but she ends up in 1348 when the Black Plague is almost in the village that she ends up in. And I got to just be with her in this village, because she's a wonderful writer, and be in the village and see how tiny we are and how hooked in we are to everything else, you know, to the plague, to animals, to each other. And I love that you say that. And you are blessed to have had that experience. You're also cursed, because the Catholic theologian Thomas Berry has said that some of us are nerve endings for the earth. And once you make that connect, it's going to be harder and harder to be comfortable. But, you know, we're probably the first 3 or 4 decades of people to believe that we had a right to be comfortable. That's not the nature of being a living organism on the planet.
Right.
It's not guaranteed comfort. I'm so glad you had that experience.
You know, there's another interesting paradox that I was thinking about that reading your work, and that is that we who love the West, the Southwest, love the silence and the nonverbal world around us. It's not all about conversations. It's not all about verbalizing everything. And then at the same time, especially you who are writing, you want to name things. You want to know the name of the flower and of the bird. What does it give you to do that naming and also not to do it?
Indeed. And we want, in my case, because I'm ignorantly only speak one language, I want to name that. I want to know the name of something in English or in Latin, in human. And there are those precious moments, and it usually involves, and it's so funny because as I'm talking to you, I can hear a plane going overhead from the airport. I live a little bit south of the airport. I'd be sitting on my back porch. I'm sorry, it's a helicopter. I'd be sitting on the back porch, but I was pretty sure that the air noise would get in the way of the interview. You know, there are these precious moments, and part of why I'm moving to the Mojave is because it's quiet. And what will happen for me, and this may be true for other of your listeners, and boy, with my writing students, this is definitely true. The initial experience of sitting and doing nothing and hearing nothing for me is always unsettling to the point of my being terrified. You know, I'll start to think, oh, my God, I'm going crazy. And if I sit through the fear, then there are no words for what happens. I'm just there. And I can talk about it now, but the combination of the warmth on my face and the scent of creosote, and then there are sounds you hear, especially in the desert. You hear the rattling of dry branches. But I'm just there, and it never lasts for very long because the words will kick back in. And part of that's because I'm a writer, because I'll be there and I'll go, oh, copper light on the mesquite.
Right.
That's fine. I signed on a long time ago to do this work, but that is the moment of knowing without words that you're a prairie dog, and knowing without words that you're a creosote bush, and knowing without words that you're the way the dawn comes up behind a desert mountain. We're very, very lucky, and I think the epidemic of busy, busy, busy that we're seeing in our culture at this point, especially among us, you know, the white middle class, upper middle class people, I think that busyness is a way to attempt to outrun our own inner discomfort and then the discomfort of looking at what's happening to the planet. And, boy, to slow down and just be with that, that's a son of a gun.
We're talking to Mary Sojourner.
And you're listening to KSFR. Check in with the control room. Are the phones ringing off the hook? Are the people in the pledge room so busy that they can't write fast enough?
Hey, Mary Charlotte, the phones are ringing off the hook, and even Dal is in there. And the last I saw, he was carrying around a list with several names, and I'm sure here he comes right now.
Excellent. 428-1393. If you have not rung that phone off the hook, our goal is to keep the people in the volunteer room so incredibly busy that they just are falling all over themselves with your pledges.
That is pretty much what's happening at the moment. We, of course, want more of that. I'd like to thank Richard Olson.
Thank you so much,
Richard. Thank you to Anonymous.
Anonymous.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I knew them.
That great figure in the history of art.
Mm-hmm. David Holmstrom. Thank you, David, very much. John Hess.
Yay,
yes.
John. Thank you, John.
Colleen DeRocher.
Colleen.
Carol Carpenter. Carol.
Yay.
Thank you very much.
The fabulous Carol Carpenter, as we call her here on the radio.
And Susan Harris.
Thank you all so much. And if your name was not on that list, even if your name is anonymous, but it was a different anonymous, call now, 428-1393.
You know, Mary Charlotte, as head of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, I'm here today with you because I understand the importance of connecting and community. And KSFR, Bar and Radio Cafe in particular are just brilliant at that. You don't just illustrate and talk about the issues and the problems of the changes coming to New Mexico, such as the oil and gas drilling issue in Galisteo Basin or the coming energy crisis. You also are about, KSFR is about sharing the ideas and the solutions that will move us forward beyond problems. It's about diverse voices that make democracy work and therefore make community work. And that's why I'm here supporting you today.
I think that the connection with democracy is really important. You cannot even count the number of issues that simply do not get dealt with in a governmental way until the media deal with them. And while I don't do investigative work per se, we have a lot of investigative journalists here. The news department does investigative work. And we're hooked up with the BBC and with Amy Goodman, who do the most incredible investigation that we have in the country, in the world today.
It's incredibly important.
Now, Mary Sojourner, she writes so personally about things that are really universal, and she's actually going to be here, thanks to you, Reese Peterson, on Friday night, April 4th.
That's right. We've got two events coming up that we want to make sure that community understands. Friday evening, you have an opportunity to come and hear Mary Sojourner read from her work and talk and actually meet her and discuss issues with her. Friday evening, 7:30 at Santa Fe Prep. Thank you to Santa Fe Prep for lending us their auditorium that evening. 7:30 Friday evening at Santa Fe Prep Auditorium. Then the next morning, we have an all-day writer's workshop. It's for writers, aspiring writers, and people who love the land. It's an opportunity to work with Mary Sojourner. That is there is a fee for that. That's actually a benefit for the Santa Fe Conservation Trust.
Which makes it even more generous of you to have given us one place in that workshop. But for people who did not get that one spot that we offered, you can still get it from the Santa Fe Conservation Trust. What's the phone number over there?
At the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, call us to register for the workshop. That's 989-7019. And ask for me, Reese Peterson, and we will get you signed up.
We need to go back to the interview now so that people can hear the end of it, but we just want to encourage you to call. Hey, I don't know if there are any copies of the book left. Maybe they can tell us that from the control room. Yes?
There are books for sale at the Mary Sojourner event on Friday night. So if you missed your opportunity, I still want you to call in and support KSFR, but also come Friday night and we'll get you a book.
Exactly. And one of the things that's so funny, people say, I'm not going to call because they don't have any books left. Call, make a contribution anyway, and then go buy the book because you'll be spending the same amount. You know, it's not like you're going to be losing anything.
And Mary will be signing those books on Friday night.
That's
at the
right.
event.
And so 428-1393, 428-1393. And we're going to go back now to the interview with Mary Sojourner. If you are out of area, if you are one of the new listeners to KSFR who has come in since we expanded our signal, the number is 866 is the toll-free number, 866-907-5737. And otherwise, 428-1393. Call us now and support the Santa Fe Radio Cafe and KSFR. Let's go back to the interview. There's a quotation in one of your essays which says, "Barns burnt down, now I can see the moon." And just a moment ago, when you were talking about that there was a helicopter going overhead, I connected something with that quotation, and that was the days after 9/11 when there were no planes in the sky and there was a beautiful silence here in New Mexico with no planes going over.
I love that you said that. This interview's elegant for me. Thank you. About the same time the mantra came to me, I went up to Moab, Utah. I had agreed to come up and do a writing circle. And I used to have this wonderful old beat-up Nissan truck with a camper shell, so I headed up to Moab, and I took a back road and camped just off-road in a place. And it was evening, and I was sitting outside in my camp chair and just being quiet, and I suddenly realized there were no lights in the sky. There were no planes going over. I mean, there were no human lights in the sky. And it was quiet. And I just put my sleeping pad down on the ground and lay down on the ground and watched the sky. And I would alternate between terrific peace and terror because I knew what that quiet sky meant. I think I got up before dawn in the morning, and a plane went over. It was probably a military plane or something. And I had this little moment of reassurance, immediately followed by, oh, no, the noise is back. You know, that's what we're walking in now. And I don't want to give away where I live, but I need to tell this story. It's a small desert town, big military base near the desert town. And it's part of the attraction for me because the big military base means that the Red Roof Golf, you know, gated mansion developers are never going to put their stuff in there because those folks are not going to want to move to a place where at night you hear bombs because this place, the military here does practice bombing runs. And the first night I stayed in the little shack that I'm going to be staying in, I was lying in bed and it was real quiet and I heard this thud, and a bomb has just a percussive thud. The one other thing I ever heard that sounded like it was a huge piece of sandstone spalling off a cliff up in Utah. Did that boom. And I felt rounded. It was the most remarkable feeling. And I talked to a woman who works with Defenders of Wildlife in this town afterwards, and I said, it's the strangest experience because I've organized peace witnesses and, you know, done all that. And I said, that hurt when the bombs, they didn't upset me. I felt like, yeah, that's real. That's real. That's part of what we are. And it's ground. It's grounded. And she said she had exactly the same experience. And people have said to me, I can't believe you're going there. What are you going to do? Every time you're going to see a Marine, you're going to be angry. And I said, oh, honey, I would rather see 27 Marines in a tank coming down the street than see some of the people I see in Hummers and Escalades here in Flagstaff.
But there's so many levels of irony to that because you're moving to a place where people have such opposing political views to your own, and on some level, they are trying to keep America safe precisely for the Hummers and the gated communities.
Here's an interesting aspect. The actual town, the people in the actual town are completely committed. They've been there a long time. They're committed to keeping the town small, and they're committed to protecting the area around the town. And here's an irony. You want an irony?
Yes.
The military base is under stricter environmental regulations than you or me.
Really?
And that's true all over the country. And I understand what you're saying. I would venture that if you were to talk with these mostly young Marines, Marine women and men, you would discover that their experience is not at all. They don't believe for a second that they're taking care of the rich people, not for a second. And I'm not arguing with you about that. You and I know at the economic analysis that's what's happening. That's completely what's happening. But what I think we have to take another step. There's an exquisite writer and theorist named Arundhati Roy who wrote The God of Small Things, and I watched a talk that she gave in St. John's Cathedral in New York City, which is a good liberal Episcopalian church, I think. And she gave this talk, and she said, she gave this beautiful talk, and she was weaving together global corporations, the Bush administration, and racism. She finishes the talk, and she says, we're going to do question and answer, but you are going to want to know what you can do. And she said, the first thing you can do is look at your complicity. And she said, you can look at how your consumer habits and patterns are pouring money into the pockets of the very people who are destroying the planet. So you are part of destroying the planet. And I've had the experience, as I've given readings all through the West, mostly through the West and the Southwest, in good independent bookstores, at book festivals and writing conferences, that as long as I keep it theoretical, people are riveted. As long as I read beautiful stuff and talk about the tragedy of the horned toad and stuff, and the minute I start to look out to the audience and say, so how many vehicles do you own? So how many pairs of shoes do you own? So how many, and start talking about our consumer habits, people's faces just go blank.
Right.
And there was a beautiful piece by Rick Bass in an old Sierra magazine, and he fights for the Yak Wilderness. I think it's in Montana, and there's lots of grizzly bears up there. So he'd gone to this very posh thing in Jackson, Wyoming, and movie stars were there, and they were fundraising for the group that was defending the grizzly bears, and he read his wonderful work. He's a wonderful writer. And in the article in Sierra Magazine, he says that while he was reading about the light shining off the hump of the grizzly bear fur, and people were riveted. And he finished his reading, and they were going to do Q&A, and he said, well, before questions and answers, I want to tell you there are postcards on all the tables, there are petitions, here are letters you can sign. And he watched in amazement as this crowd of intent, intelligent, beautifully dressed people all wandered off to the appetizer table and started talking with each other and getting drinks. And he was left standing at the podium.
Oh, my goodness.
I vividly remember going to an exquisite performance by the Gaden Shardzi Tibetan monk monastery of music and dance at our own Center for the Arts here. And the audience is loaded with people who are just dressed to the nines and wearing, you know, $10,000 Navajo silver necklaces and groovy crystals and so on and so forth. And at the end of this phenomenal performance of religious music, spiritual music and dance, this young monk got up and spoke for maybe 5 minutes, said, this is what's happening in Tibet. We ask your help. And there's a donation box out in the lobby. And my friend and I hung out till everybody had left. We walked out, and there was $15, a 10 and a 5, in that donation box. So I want to take what you said, and I want to talk about, or I want to just perhaps leave people with this question. Where is our complicity? And if you're ready to be uncomfortable, if you're ready to be as important as a horned toad or a mesquite, you know, if you're ready to have the tiniest micron of hope at a time that seems so hopeless, then you're going to be looking at your own complicity. And I think writing is a way to move into that pretty fearlessly. And once you look at your own complicity, then you're not locked off from other human beings.
Mary Sojourner, thank you so much for being with us here on KSFR.
It's been a gift. Thank you. It's been a refining process for me. Thank you.
And Mary Sojourner on KSFR, the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, 428-1393. It is the Pledge Drive. Reese Peterson is with us. She's the director of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust.
And Mary Sojourner will be with us this Friday evening at 7:30, Santa Fe Prep Auditorium. That is open to the public and free will offering. The next day, there will be a workshop, a writer's circle, as Mary puts it, called Carencia, Writing the Threads of Place. I took Mary's workshop last fall up in Denver. You know, the woman is fierce in her commitment to conservation, but in the workshop, you see the gentle, welcoming, nurturing, empowering side of Mary, and I went away from that, connected with the deep places in my heart that make me a conservation worker. It's the reason that I work in the conservation field is because of that heart connection. Mary will put you in touch with that at the workshop. So I encourage people to come and meet Mary either Friday night or to call us at the Santa Fe Conservation Trust, 989-7019, in order to register for the workshop.
And if you liked Mary's interview and you want to hear the whole thing, this is an abridged version of it, you can call 428-1393, make a pledge to KSFR, and for a $35 contribution, you can get a copy of the interview. All sorts of things. I think it was really important what she said at the end, which is that we all get our hearts warmed by these wonderful conversations, whether they be on radio or in person, but then if you aren't willing to actually take the action, then what good is all this talk? It's just words. They just fall down. If you don't want to be in that category of people who do all the talking and listening but none of the action, you know, that's not the way to be, ladies and gentlemen. What you need to do if you want to actually take some action is support the radio station, among other things, support the radio station that actually gives you these words, that gives you Mary Sojourner, that gives you the voices of so many people coming through New Mexico and far beyond New Mexico. You can make a pledge of any size, small or large, to KSFR. Call 428-1393, 428-1393, and the toll-free number if you're calling from out of state, out of area. We have listeners in Colorado, Rhode Island. We have listeners in Europe. We have listeners all over the place. That number is 866-907-5737. And that number won't work from Europe, but it'll work from anywhere in the United States. 866-907-5737.
In fact, we did get a call from a Rhode Island listener just this hour.
We did.
Yes, we did.
Oh, goody.
I also would like to thank David Brown, called just a little while ago. Thank you so much, David, for your contribution.
Thanks to you.
We've got momentum. We've got momentum this morning. We had it yesterday, too, and I hope we can carry it through the day.
428-1393, this is the time to support the KSFR pledge drive. This is the time to support public radio. And it is not taken out of your taxes, ladies and gentlemen, like a lot of the things that you enjoy, like roads and parks and so many of the things that your taxes pay for. This is paid for by you, the listener. It's voluntary, and we hope that it means enough to you to actually open your pockets and think of it as, you know, one nice dinner somewhere. Instead of going to that nice dinner, you eat a simple dinner at home and you make that contribution to KSFR, 428-1393.
Or both.
Or both. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want to listen, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. Thanks to Dal Dearman and Laurel Reynolds and everybody who is volunteering at KSFR in the pledge room right now. Thanks to the people who are making the food for our volunteers. Thanks to all of our listeners. Please make a contribution right now. 428-1393. 428-1393. We want every single listener who loves KSFR and who loves the Santa Fe Radio Cafe to call in right now. And if you call by 9, then we will know that you love the actual Radio Cafe. But call anytime. 428-1393. Hasta la vista, baby. Ciao.
See you tomorrow.
And thanks, Reese Peterson.
Most welcome. Call in.
Colors of Jazz coming up next on KSFR. We'll talk to you on the other side of the news.